Peter Greenberg, speaking of the travel business, is on the phone. Hey, Peter, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Good morning.
And good morning to you, sir.
Hey, where are you today, Peter?
I'm on board an Amtrak train right now, heading between Los Angeles and San Diego. How about that?
I think the last three times I've talked to you or heard you, okay, you're on a train in California. You were in Poland or talking to the Polish ambassador. And last week you were in South or Central America. Does that sound right?
Close enough. I was in the Dominican Republic. You got it.
Your show is on WGN Radio, the Eye on Travel, Saturdays from 4 to 6. Peter, I was reading about the 737 MAX safety investigation, and it sounds like the FAA has approved the results of that investigation. They're saying that those planes are safe to fly on. Is that the read on that?
It is not the read on that. What the FAA is basically saying is that they fixed the software system. That was the problem that caused those two crashes, both in Indonesia and Ethiopia. But remember, we're way away before this plane flies because they've got to get the pilots trained now in that system. And what Boeing was suggesting was that all the pilots had to do was do a quick little iPad refresher course on a tablet. And the pilot said, no way, we want simulator training. Here's the problem. There are not enough simulators with that system in it to go around. So it's going to take a while. That's one of the reasons why Southwest Airlines removed the 737 MAX from their schedules now through June. We might not see this plane fly before the end of summer.
So there are no 737s in operation anywhere in the world?
No 737 MAXs. That is correct.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about. And have they all been grounded since the second of those crashes?
Oh, yeah, they've been grounded since March of last year, which means that by the time they fly again, it could be a year and a half. And let me put this in some financial perspective. 400 planes have been grounded. Those are the planes that had already been delivered to the airlines that were being operated at the time they were grounded. That's the equivalent of taking out 40,000 seats a day from the inventory. That's a huge revenue loss from the airlines. It's a huge revenue loss for the pilots who can't earn money because they're not flying them. And it's a huge revenue loss for Boeing. So this is going to have reverberations that will continue for many years.
So 400 big old completely finished airplanes are parked somewhere and they're not using them at all.
Well, it's more than that. It's not just the planes that are parked that Boeing finished making that they haven't delivered yet. It's the planes they already delivered that are parked. So we're talking about more than that.
And are those planes that unsafe? I want us all to be as prudent and cautious as possible, but what's your thought about this?
Right. Here's the reality. These planes will fly again. They will be recertified. I will be on them, John. But the issue here is not whether or not they're going to be fixed. They will be fixed. The issue here is the optics. You know, the word 737 MAX has such a negative connotation now that in the most recent surveys, nearly 50% of veteran business travelers say they don't want to fly one. That tells you a lot about the damage done to the image of this aircraft. Now, again, I have complete confidence the plane will be fixed. What I don't have confidence in is the culture of the behavior of the FAA and the behavior of Boeing that allowed this problem to happen in the first place. And if that's not fixed, it's going to happen again.
What was the culture? What happened? How did we not know about this?
How does a regulatory agency take direction from the very company that's supposed to regulate? Boeing is not the client of the FAA. I was in a meeting once with one of the airlines, and the airline described the FAA as their partner. No, the health department is not the partner of the restaurant. The FAA has to take command here. They have to have proper oversight in the manufacturing of a plane, any plane, and proper oversight in the actual certification of the plane once it comes off the assembly line. And certification and maintenance supervision when they do future maintenance. All of that has been lacking for many, many years, not just with Boeing, but since the inception of the FAA. They were enacted by Congress back in 1935 and given a completely schizophrenic mandate, John. One, to enact and enforce safety regulation. That's okay. But the second one was to promote the business of aviation. You cannot do both. You cannot do both. And until they fix that definition and fix that culture, we have the makings of another problem somewhere down the line.
Boeing, though, doesn't benefit in any way from a plane being anything but 100% safe. They manufactured these things. There was this software glitch. You know, we all know a little bit about software problems, and when they go bad on my laptop or on a machine at work, it's not catastrophic. But I also know that software glitches can be fixed with some code and some implementation. I mean, I'm hopeful that, and I'm wondering if the fix is kind of that simple.
Well, it's not that simple because, you know, you can't move one chess piece on an airplane without moving the entire board. But they figured it out, and they can fix it, and they will fix it. The real problem is, you know, when this plane does fly again and it's certified and approved, you know, and I know instinctively, that if a passenger hears a pin drop on that plane, someone's going to have a panic attack for the first 6 or 8 weeks, and there'll be a lot of, you know, recalled flights or emergency landings that turn out to be absolutely nothing. Again, they're going to fix this plane. I will fly on this plane. But the operative mandate here is to fix the culture of the FAA and its relationship with the very companies they're supposed to regulate, or we're going to go no further in terms of progress.
Will they rebrand those planes, should they?
Well, you know, the artist formerly known as Prince, I hate to tell you, was Prince. So I don't know if that's going to help anybody. Everybody knows what this plane was and is. This plane, by the way, and its basic model, the 737, has been around over 50 years. So right now, Boeing is a victim of its own arrogance and its own feelings of invulnerability and its own feeling that they could dictate to the very agency that was regulating them. They've got to fix that. Rebranding this plane is going to accomplish absolutely nothing.
Peter Greenberg's on the phone. His Eye on Travel airs Saturdays on WGN Radio. 4 o'clock tomorrow, you'll hear him. By the way, before I let you go, Peter, our news click, our daily web poll question was about Chicago banning foam food containers and plastic utensils. It's garbage. It should be recycled. We don't do a good job of it. It's bad for the environment and all of the animals. So now you can't have plastic takeout stuff in Chicago. The story I was reading about it said, you know who the biggest culprit is? It's not restaurants, although they're culpable in this. It's the airlines. When you get off of that plane, the amount of garbage that comes off that they just throw away is shameful.
You know, they've got to change the regulations because with technology and refrigeration systems that are out there now, so much of what is not used on an airplane can be very quickly refrigerated again and delivered to the people who need it the most. So many food banks have approached the airlines over the years to try to make that happen. Even the airline employees are trying to get involved in this. But you've got to change a few of the health restrictions to allow this to happen, and it should be done quickly.
If I don't use my headphones, do they just give those headphones to the next person? I suppose. I mean, I'm wondering how much of the stuff I don't use on the plane do they throw away or do they reuse?
If it's just plastic and those cheap headphones, they're thrown out. If it's the real expensive headphones they hand out in first class, there's a reason why they collect them before the plane lands. They use them again.
Hey, safe travels to you. So you're on a train today, huh?
Planes, trains, and automobiles. It's my life.
Safe travels, and we'll listen for you tomorrow, Peter.
Thanks so much, John.